The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
But now, something else we talked about before the break, before butchering political history in the States, was our own politics in this country. So tomorrow, Simon Harris had to take over as Taoiseach. We got a little sneak peek of some of his ambitions during his speech at the Fine Gael Ardèche at the weekend.
We will build 250,000 homes together over the next 5 years. We'll build more starter homes for our young people to buy. The waiver on development levies is working. It's making it cheaper to build and cheaper to buy, and I want to work with colleagues in government to see if it can now be extended.
That was Simon Harris speaking at the weekend. He also talked about law and order, about health, and a whole lot more besides. Today marks Leo Varadkar's last day as Taoiseach. He prepares to resign officially at 6 o'clock this evening in just over 90 minutes' time. His last full function was attending the North-South Ministerial Council meeting. Afterwards, he talked about disruptions occurring often in politics and that Stormont shouldn't be impacted by recent allegations made against Geoffrey Donaldson.
Events happen in politics, whether it's changes of leadership, there'll be elections for the House of Commons, there'll be elections for the Dáil, all within the next year. And what's really important is that institutions should be able to function through them and withstand any disruption that may occur. And that's happened in the past.
So that was Leo Varadkar speaking after his last full function as Taoiseach. Soon he will be a former Taoiseach. Another former Taoiseach with me now, Bertie Ahern. Bertie, always a pleasure and thanks a million for taking the time to speak to us. What, in your mind, are the big challenges that Simon Harris faces if he wants his short, very short tenure possibly to be deemed a success?
Well, I suppose he has to look at his career in two ways. I mean, I suppose the normal life of a Taoiseach now is 10 years or maybe less, but he has to get this year right because it's a short run to the election. I don't think anyone can realistically expect them to change much before the locals and European elections. Though it's the run to Christmas, which is, you know, the best. It's eight months, but always out of that you have the summer and you have budget time and you have all the other issues that are European issues that take up so much time. So it seems as if he's picking a few issues and he's trying to highlight those few issues. He set them out in Galway in his Ardèche speech on Saturday night. And I think he's probably best just to keep it to a few. I mean, you can't build all the houses and in a year, and you can't change the whole university system, as he knows, because he's been there a few years, or you can't change the health system. But there are a few doables that he has to pick and from his agenda and try and do as much as he can on those between now and Christmas.
Well, what do you suspect people within Fianna Fáil thought, senior members of the party thought about his speech to the Ardèche at the weekend? I mean, some kind of interpreting it as a repudiation of the government's housing policy. Dara O'Brien's big housing plan.
No, I don't think so. Like, I think he has to listen to his Ardèche speech and he's talking to his own membership, and I think people have to see it in that line. In fairness to him, I think he's saying what's been achieved has achieved, but we all know that you have to build far more houses. I always find that a bit amusing in one way, because I was always ridiculed because I was building too many houses when we were building at 70. But you know, that's how the cookie crumbles and how it goes. Realistically, we probably have to get up to 50,000 houses, and that's what he's saying, that we have to get up to that kind of capacity. Now, he admitted yesterday in the interview that he did, that he that won't be in year one. So I think that, you know, if he's going to be around for 8-10 years, is probably what the lifespan of Taoiseach is, and or a leader of his party, depending on the next election. Then you have to look at the two phases. What you can do this year, and some of the things you can really set yourself out. He's obviously set law and order and immigration as things that he wants to make progress on. He seems to focus huge on law and order, chairing a task force on Dublin to try and deal with issues that have been around for a long time. And I think that's something that is doable in the short term. And I think he, on the immigration issue, it's huge. I mean, the numbers coming into the country over recent years, and Roderick O'Gorman has been battling away on as best he can. But I think obviously he's going to take a focus on those. So I think they're the issues where he can see real progress and where the public can see real progress over the short term.
Does he need to learn how different it is to be Taoiseach rather than a senior minister? You know,
yeah, it's a very different game. The way it always works, Ciarán, is that when you're a minister, you're responsible for your own brief, and you're usually well on top of your own brief, as he has been in both health and in the third level education and innovation. He seems well across his issues, and you know, very competent on them, and thinks quickly, and you know, is able to handle those. The difference when you're a teacher, you have to be across everybody's brief, and you have to be there on the good days for other ministers and bad days for other ministers. What tends to happen a lot in government is that when they're good days, the line ministers are very happy to take the front foot. When there's bad days, they're usually vanish and they leave it to you to deal with. And, you know, that's an experience I had in successive governments. And it's not easy. So you can't pick your agenda items. Mm. You're dealing with the crisis of the day. And, you know, whether it's an international issue, Northern Ireland, or a domestic issue, or something that just jumps up out of the blue, which happens probably half the time, you have to be on top of it. And that's not easy. You're trying to do everybody's job, and you're answerable for everybody's job.
Does that make it difficult to actually affect change in any one area? Pascal Donoghue, Minister for Public Expenditure, was in with me last week, and I was asking why he didn't want to be Taoiseach, and that was the reason, certainly he's stated in public anyway, is that he's seen other people do the job, and he's felt that one of the limitations is you are constantly doing the job you just described, kind of firefighting for other people, or answering questions about other people's briefs, and managing kind of the politics of cabinet, rather than having one issue on your desk that you can actually affect change in.
Yeah, and I know that a number of colleagues and a number of people that, you know, past issues that I've talked to over the years have always said, you come in the morning when you're a line minister, and you normally can set out your day fairly predictable, not always, but fairly predictable. When you're a teacher, there's not a hope in hell in doing that. Something happens, some event happens, you know, at home or abroad, and you're straight into that issue. You're on the floor of the Dáil for a lot of hours of the week, and it is very difficult. I mean, there's no good saying that it's not, but that's what the people want. I mean, they want you to be out in front and central to the issues and handling them. And so it's very hard to sit down on a Monday and say, well, this is the way it's going to be between now and Friday, as you would in a normal job. It can be blown off course very, very quickly. That's why I think you're better off, and particularly the fact that he's a new Taoiseach, he's a young Taoiseach. He's coming in within the Fine Gael six. I mean, they've lost their Taoiseach now. They've lost their leader of the party. They've lost their deputy leader, a very experienced minister, in both Leo as Taoiseach and Simon Coveney. So a third of your own colleagues at the cabinet table are new. You know, that's a lot of change. I mean, that's big. And you're, even though he's been there for, you know, he's been minister of state for a few years, he's been minister now for 8 years, so he's a lot of experience. He's seen around the table. But when you're in that firing line day in, day out, you know, it's not easy. Though, listen, he's a very good communicator. He thinks fast. He's a bundle of energy. He's the right age to be able to have a real go at it. So, but in this first phase of his career, as leader of his party and as Taoiseach of the country, it's short. I mean, it's 8 months is a very short period.
Leo Varadkar, by 6 o'clock this evening, would have handed in his official resignation, as it were, to the president. His last job, effectively, his last official function, this North-South Ministerial Council meeting, It coming as well as the anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement approaches, the Jeffrey Donaldson scandal, of course, rumbling in the background. What's your assessment, Bertie, of where we're at in terms of the North, the resilience of the institutions now to withstand change and turmoil?
Yeah, no, I think we're in a good position. And you know, kind of pay tribute to the Taoiseach, the outgoing Taoiseach Leo. I think he's done a very good job. And the North, he stuck loyal to the Good Friday Agreement through the thick and thin, through all the as Simon Coveney did, through all of the Brexit discussions, the issues about the backstop, the protocol, the Windsor Agreement. I mean, it's been a tough time, and tough time dealing with the British government. I think Leo stuck with that. He's been around now, the city institutions back up. I think it's very fitting that his last engagement is the North-South bodies, which are crucial to the agreement. We wouldn't ever had a Good Friday Agreement if we did not have the North-South bodies. They're crucial going forward. I think he set that out today. And so I think they're in a good position now, and I think both Emma Pengelly and Michelle O'Neill will take it forward with their colleagues. It won't be easy for them either. It'll be a difficult year ahead, I mean, with local elections, Westminster elections. So it's going to be a trying year. I mean, before we get to this time next year and come out of next winter, you know, there's going to have been a lot of elections that inevitably will bring its own change, and you know how substantial that change is, God knows. So it's going to be a trying and tested year, not an easy year for those who are holding office.
Bertie Ahern, as always, Bertie, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
A lot of people getting in touch about Simon Harris, like Ed, who says Harris is a bit like one of those celebs who's just famous for being famous. He is impressive for being impressive, as distinct from anything he has actually done, which isn't a great deal, apart from repeal of the 8th, says Ed. Jack says, is there any legacy specific to a Taoiseach since coalitions began? I mean, there are programmes negotiated between two or three parties which should be followed, or the government will likely fall. The Taoiseach is simply the front man for it. And Richard the Thatcher says, in fairness to Leo Varadkar, it should not be forgotten, he did always wear very stylish socks. Richard, thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.